Rewiring Your Life with Erica Spiegelman and Marcia Stone. Wellness, inspiration, support.
Welcome to Rewiring Your Life. My name is Erica Spiegelman.
And I am Marcia Stone.
And our intention is to have great conversations on wellness, inspiration, and support. We are very excited today to have a very special guest, Dr. Natalie Dottillo. She's a licensed clinical and health psychologist who specializes in the treatment of depression, anxiety, stress, insomnia, and other health conditions. She has over a decade of experience helping people overcome a wide range of issues using personalized, structured, and scientifically backed approaches. Currently, she provides psychological evaluation and treatment at Brigham and Women's Hospital and is an instructor of psychiatry at Harvard Medical School. So welcome to the show, Dr. Natalie Dottillo.
Thank you.
Yes, happy to have you with us today. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. Thank you. Thank you for having me. How are you doing?
Good, good. You know, I think it's always nice to talk to everybody at the end of a week. You know, this show will air on a Wednesday, but it is nice to kind of wrap up the week having a nice conversation and learn from our guests and provide information. Yeah.
So
like you said, you are a clinician and you work with people, and it sounds like, you know, helping anybody kind of change their lives, it's important to kind of make them aware, I would think, of being present. And I think being present also comes with being grateful and kind of looking at your life for what you do have and not for what you don't have. So how does gratitude play into your practice?
Oh, it plays into it in all sorts of ways. But I like what you mentioned there, which is being present. It really allows you to cultivate a present-mindedness. And gratitude is great for grounding, which is sort of like paying attention, being present, and, you know, bringing your focus to, you know, the things that you're grateful for, the things that you have, and not the things that you don't.
I love that. I was curious how, when in your biography that I read, you talk a lot about personalized, and then you use the word structured, scientifically backed approach. That really caught my attention because I don't necessarily think of gratitude seems like sort of, you know, a big sort of ethereal topic. And then we think of structure. And I'm just curious about how that works and how you integrate some discipline with gratitude.
Mm-hmm. It is one of those concepts that's very abstract, right? And perhaps
yes.
A little ethereal, right? And how do we bring that into our day-to-day lives in a practical and structured way? So that's really what I mean by that is how, you know, what are the nuts and bolts, you know, and this broad concept, and how can we break it down for you, personalized for you, your lifestyle, in a way that's sustainable as a practice over time.
I love that.
Mm-hmm. And I was just, you know, for me at least, when it helped me have an actual gratitude practice, so where it was a non-negotiable, where every single day I would reflect on the things that I was grateful for, because it did start to create a positive mindset for the day. It, you know, obviously helped me focus on the better, you know, things that I felt, you know, good about in my life and that I was proud of. And so again, all those kinds of feelings to focus on, I think were helpful too in my personal life and with my clients as well. I think it's good to be consistent, and especially with this kind of practice, because it, you know, it's fine if you go over what you're grateful for once a month or even once a year, like on Thanksgiving, like people do. But I think really to change the pathways of your brain, don't you have to do something consistently? And that could be a daily practice.
Exactly. That's the only way that we're going to rewire our brain is the consistent practice over time, the dedication and the intentionality behind it. And there's a process. There are phases, I suppose. And one of the first things that I would ask somebody to do, and there's more advanced practices as you move along, but just to, when you feel gratitude or you feel a sense of thankfulness or appreciation, like, what does it feel like? Like, how do you know that that's what you're feeling?
Identifying.
Yes.
Yes.
You know, like, look
yes.
within
I
a little bit.
That.
Notice what your body is telling you, what you're feeling, where you're feeling it. So maybe that's just the first place I would have somebody start is just think about when you notice that you're feeling thankful, what does it feel like and can you describe it?
And could people, I mean, would you recommend people writing it?
I always recommend people write. I think that writing is one of the most effective tools we have to for well-being and mental health and physical health and all of it. So writing as much as possible is something that I recommend. I'm an avid journaler, so I'm kind of writing all the time because I think it does really help to do a couple of things. It kind of captures the essence of this experience, which again is sort of abstract. When you're writing, it forces you to put it into words. It forces you to really articulate and think about what it is that you're thinking about. And then you can sort of take a step back from that and look at it and kind of read what you wrote, either, you know, in that moment or at some point down the road. And it gives you just a different perspective. It kind of brings it out of you and puts it in a place where you can look at it and reflect and have it reflect back to you.
Exactly. Yeah, I love that. And that's very true.
I was just thinking about, you know, Erica and I talk a lot about our non-negotiables. And these are things in our life that we have, you know, earmarked as a must do, a must have. And that might be, you know, a meditation in the morning. It might be exercise every day. You know, people have different things that they know that they respond well to. So when I was hearing you talking about the structure, I was just thinking about, you know, non-negotiable in terms of following the practice that you've set up. But just to back up just a little bit, could you tell us, you know, if I came to see you and I said, I'm struggling with depression, I'm struggling with anxiety, and I need help to put together a personalized plan for me to practice being present and practice gratitude, like what would that look like? Just, you know, just as an example of, you know, a typical structure that you would set up for a patient or a client.
I think it would begin with just assessing, like, what are your goals? Like, what are you wanting to get out of this? What are you hoping will result based on this practice? You know, the time that we have, you know, to work together, how are we going to make the best use of that time? And how do we know, how are we going to know that we've, you know, made progress and that the work's been effective? So really spending some time up front, thinking about what's our end goal here and being as specific as possible, and also having that be anchored in a behavior. So, you know, if gratitude practice works, how will we know in your life? What is it that you're not doing now that you'd like to be doing that we think gratitude practice might help you achieve? Is it showing up better in your relationships? Is it showing up better at work? Is it being more present? Is it managing difficult emotions better? And what would that look like? We can observe progress over time. And again, it keeps it practical and real life focused.
That's so good.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. And I was just going to say too, I think, you know, anxiety and stress and insomnia and all these other things that we were just talking about that, you know, you specialize in, I think everybody at some point in their life experiences all three of those things and many other things. And I know, you know, we all go through different kind of chapters in our lives. Can you just tell us a little bit about your own personal practice and how yours has changed over time and kind of how you kind of roll with the stress that comes up in your life? Or do you mind sharing that just so people could understand that, you know, even when we achieve a place of like gratitude in a moment or a day, or let's say the stress is gone for this week, like, you know, things change constantly and next week could be more stress or let, you know, so again, can you share your personal experience with this and how you may deal with that over time changing?
Absolutely. You know, the goal of the practice is to be adaptable to the changing demands of your day-to-day situation, right? Among other things, this is just, you know, one of those tools that we might use and that I use personally.
And yeah, and you can talk about other tools too.
Yeah,
other tools
well, like mindfulness is one, and cultivating a sense of curiosity and awe. These are, you know, the work that we do to cultivate positive emotions. And then I also do that in my own life. And, you know, part of this is just because I want to, you know, I wanted to see what all the buzz is about when it came to gratitude and like to vet the strategies and techniques that I recommend for other people to use. So, you know, doing my own gratitude challenge a couple years back, I was like, well, let's just see what this gratitude thing is all about. There's some really good science. And so it was November, which is a great time to practice gratitude. It's gratitude season, and just spent like the 30 days just cultivating my own gratitude practice. But the goal is not just to make lists of things that you're thankful for and count your blessings, which we probably don't do enough of anyway, but it's to really have that translate into your life. It's sort of like, it becomes a lifestyle. It becomes a mindset that you bring with you everywhere you go. You're not carving out time to be grateful. You bring gratitude into like everything you
are.
Right, into who you are, exactly. Mm-hmm. And ultimately, that's the purpose of the practice, to make sure that it's translating and sort of being integrated into your day-to-day life. So my personal practice consists of being mindful and thankful of the good things, right? And whether I'm doing this every day or if I'm just reflecting on it in some point throughout the day, I'm a little less structured about that part of it at this point. But my practice mostly includes being grateful and thankful or appreciative of the things that aren't so good. And this is where we want to move into, which is sort of in a more advanced practice, so to speak, and really challenging myself and others to see, you know, the upside or the lesson in everything and the growth opportunities, especially the setbacks and difficulties.
That's so good. And what the science, right, with the science
doesn't
part
always
that
come
you
easy.
Mentioned, just generally, what are some of the most pronounced effects on our body, on our blood pressure, on, you know, brain chemistry? I'm just curious, you know, it looks like there's lots of studies and science behind, you know, this curriculum that you've developed. I don't know if curriculum's the right word, but what are
That's
some of the
word.
Effects that people
practice?
Yeah, practice.
Yeah.
They might be able to see and experience, like to know, like it's working, you know?
Oh yeah. Well, that's a really good question. How do you know if it's working? Well, we know from the studies, and there's like numerous studies now at this point that have shown gratitude practice, and there's different types of practices, and they study different types of practices and different lengths of time and so on and so forth. And what they, you know, all of them consistently show that gratitude is positively associated with social, emotional, and physical well-being. And I, of those three, yeah, the physical health benefits are impressive. You know, it's helps with cardiovascular health, like you mentioned, and decreased perception of pain and better sleep and all that good stuff, which we know is really good for our mental health and well-being. It also is associated with a term we call flourishing. So it's more than just happiness. It's life satisfaction. It's a sense of thriving. But really it's like emotional well-being and all that. But I think one of the most important aspects of gratitude practice is the social aspects, our social well-being. So it increases your sense of belongingness. There was one study that was done with students, college students, and they kept a gratitude diary. And what they found was that it increased their sense of belongingness, even if they weren't necessarily interacting with other people any more than they would have been. And then expressions of gratitude by managers increased employees' motivation. So the fact and productivity, like just expressing gratitude and being, you know, saying thank you, just saying thank you and I appreciate you is enough to translate into increased motivation, increased better performance, increased productivity, and a sense of belongingness. And I think that's one of the most interesting findings. There's a couple of really interesting findings, but one of them is what is happening in the brain when you're practicing gratitude, and it lights up parts of the brain that are associated with like social cohesion and community and connection. And some of that is because you're actually expressing gratitude. Some of the best practices consist of telling people that you're thankful to thank them and why do I appreciate
communicating
you?
Communicating it.
Exactly. And so expressing it and then receiving it is really powerful. So hearing thank you from somebody, a loved one, or even somebody that you don't know that well, right? It brings us together. And so it enhances empathy and understanding and compassion. And I think that does show up in our day-to-day lives. I think that shows up in how we interact with other people. Even if you're not saying thank you, you're just generally more appreciative and connected to other humans.
Mm-hmm. That's so interesting. You know, what comes up is, you know, I have two little kids now, and Marsha's a mother of five. And, you know, I think just a general, I have clients that have kids too. And it just how much like children mirror what they see and hear. And what we do. And so, you know, I've always kind of been thinking in the back of my mind lately. I mean, I only have a 2 and a 3-year-old, but like, how do we teach gratitude, or how can we cultivate a sense of gratitude within our families, and how do kids, you know, because I think it's important to instill these values and teach kids this at a younger age so that when they're older, they don't have to, like, you know, all of a sudden hear this word for the first time and not understand how that relates to their life, or even what a wonderful world it would be to have children have these practices in place at a younger age. And so I was just curious, have you thought about this? Do you have any feedback on this, of just how can we cultivate, like, a sense of gratitude in the younger generation?
Absolutely. I don't think you're never too young, maybe never too old, and, like,
yeah, you're never too young
right? to begin a gratitude practice, and it does start, you know, within the family, or possibly.
I mean, I'm just maybe saying, like, we appreciate each other. You know, you're, like, getting into, like, the end of the day. What did you like about your day? I mean, what do you recommend for people listening? Like, if we wanted to start,
Yeah, I've got two little ones as well. I have two girls, 10 and 7. So, you know, it's
amazing.
It's doing it on a regular basis. I think that's important, to set the practice and the habit and to be consistent, and doing it at regular times of the day so you're more likely to remember. So before meals is a great time, you know, even if it's a quick meal, but just, like, that moment in time, and then just if it's just a quick second where you're all together sort of thinking about, okay, you know, just thankful for the day, the weather, the food, each other, you know, just a moment. Or before bed, you know, if you're doing, like, a nighttime routine or a bedtime routine and you're tucking in the kiddos, you know, like, running through, like, what went well and what didn't go well, and why is that okay? You know, what did you, when I pick up my kids from school, one of the first things that I'll ask them is, you know, well, what didn't go so well today, and what did it teach you? What did you learn? What did you learn about yourself? And your ability to deal with that. So, yeah, I think it's a really important practice. And I think thanking our children, we often don't think to thank our children, you know, but to thank them for, I thanked my daughter the other day for thanking me. Just like, oh, nice.
Thank you for saying thank you. Yeah.
Exactly.
Thank you for
manners. It's so good.
Yeah, exactly.
It is good.
We can thank them for the love they give, or the help that they give. Mm. You know, so many things, right?
Just so thankful for you tiny. You know, you're the essence of you, and that you're in my life, and
That's great. It's beautiful.
I wonder why this topic doesn't just come more naturally to us. You know, we're actually sitting here thinking of how we can inject more gratitude into our language and our daily lives and our relationships. And I wonder, you know, was it at one time second nature, and that sort of declined because of isolation and, you know, I don't know, cell phones and whatever.
Yeah,
it's a really good question. Like, why do we have to practice to be good at it?
Right.
And I actually think we are, you know, more thankful and grateful than we probably realize. Right. And it's the stopping to reflect and be a little more intentional about thinking about that, and then expressing that. So, and it's, you know, and I, that's important, because I think we feel better than we realize a lot of the time. We focus so much on our negative experiences and the things that don't feel good, or the problems in our life that we need to fix. And there's a good reason for that. And that's our negativity bias. You know, we're just sort of hardwired to do that, so that we're detecting threats and potential harm. And so we're very attentive to the negative things, right? And so unless we are actively practicing and thinking consciously and being mindful and attentive to the good things, they might slip right by us. It's not that they're not there, and it's not that they're not happening. We're just not paying enough attention. So this is really paying more attention to what it feels like to be thankful, to what it feels like to express gratitude, to receive gratitude, and have that file that away somewhere in your brain, so it's more easily accessible going forward.
Yeah, I also just think there's a culture, we live in a culture of just more, more, more. I mean, materialism, and just, you know, like, always being even subconsciously shown that we need to be more, to do more, to have more. And, you know, I think younger people, especially, like, you know, I see some young kids in my family, even my cousins, and, you know, people that just, it's a different way of growing up now, like Marcia was saying, too, with technology and all these images and all like the advertising, you know, it's all just so subliminal, these messages. And I think it does create this kind of, you know, pushing for more instead of kind of stopping and pausing and being present and connecting with what you do have, you know, so that's another issue.
Oh, that's a great point. That's a great point that we are fed that from a very early age. Want, you know, more, more, more. It's better to have more. You don't have this, you need this. And to take a step back and take some inventory of like, you know, I have enough, you know, I heard this quote, and I wish I knew who I could attribute this to, but it really stopped me in my tracks, and I just love it, which is, if you're not grateful for what you have, what makes you think you're going to be grateful for more? You know, just sort of driving that point home, that if you're not grateful in this moment, what makes you think you'll be grateful, you know, in the next or the one after that, or when you get everything right. You want?
And is there a way to kind of kickstart things? I read somewhere that there was a gratitude sort of challenge. Can you tell us what that's about? How do we get kickstarted?
Okay, so there's a couple of ways, and I challenge people all the time to practice gratitude. And the best ways to get started is to start with a list. It's pretty simple, pretty straightforward. Just start with a list every day. You could pick a set period of time. It could be a week, a month, and at some point during the day, I often recommend at the end of the day, but you could do it at the beginning of the day. A lot of people do it at the beginning of the day, and it really sets their mind in that direction, and which is a great way to start the day as well. But just list, you know, if you list five things that you're thankful for each day. But the trick is that they must be unique things. You can't repeat them. So, I mean, most people will say like, well, I'm grateful for my family and my friends and my health and my work. And like, and it, okay, we got those. Like, yep, right. You can use all of those, right? And now then you have to come up with new ones, new and unique ones. So when I've done this, like a 30-day challenge, it's three unique things every day for about a month. And by the end of that month, you've got almost 100 items. So you can play with the math at any point in time. So, you know, you could increase it to 10 things over a period of 5 days or even 20. But the goal would be to get to somewhere around like 100 unique things that maybe you've taken for granted, or you just want to put on that list somewhere because it doesn't even have to be big things. These are the little things, and really challenge yourself to see those. I also have people make it visual. So with post-it notes, and maybe you find a place, a wall where you're going to put something, one item on each post-it, and just like cover the wall with it. And, you know, you have your kids do it too, and other family members. And by the end of that, however, the week or month, you've got just a wall of gratitude just covered.
That's amazing.
That's cool. That sounds
there are
nice
ways
too.
Add to the challenge. Two really important ways if you wanted to really advance your practice. And one of those is to, on that list each day, list at least one thing that didn't go well and why you're thankful for it.
Wow, I like that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So you get some practice there. And the other would be to list at least one person each day that you're thankful for and then tell them why.
Hmm, love both of those additions. Yeah,
you can ease into some of those, you know, but yeah, I think that those are really where it's like the heart of the work is there. And the reason why, and it has to do with the brain, it has to do with the way we're wired. And, you know, a well-connected brain is a healthy brain. Right? So when I say well-connected, it's that the different areas of the brain that may not be in communication with one another all that much, we want to strengthen that. We want this network and this neural network to be really well-connected and to light up. And so when you are doing some thought work, you know, that's one part of the brain, and you're connecting it to emotion work, that's a different part of the brain. And we want those parts of the brain to be in good communication with one another. So when you're thinking about things that didn't go well and are upsetting, right, we don't often associate that with something good, right? So you're putting things together that don't ordinarily go together. And that also helps you build perspective and emotion regulation and all the other good skills that we're trying to teach people how to do to cope and be adaptively and be resilient.
Yeah, it's so true. And let go and not, you know, catastrophize things. And, you know, yeah, I think such a great practice. I mean, I was just talking about it earlier. I was on someone else's podcast today, and we were talking about thought habits and how our thought habits, you know, we don't talk about maybe that enough, and how they, you know, really do kind of they are in command of our whole lives in a way. We're not aware of our thoughts, or we can't, you know, coach ourselves through changing those thoughts or reframing those thoughts. And I think, like what you were just saying, is kind of, you know, focusing on something that maybe didn't go well and choosing a thought around that that is, well, this didn't go well, but I learned this, or I'm grateful because, you know, I can make another choice next time. And I, you know, so again, it's just kind of changing that the thoughts and learning how to, you know, I think we all have to kind of feel confident in ourselves. We're safe within ourselves. We're safe within our own thoughts, and we can change our thoughts. That is so powerful. It's such a freedom. So I think this is really a huge part of what you were just talking about, can be, you know, we could change our thoughts and our habits with our thoughts with gratitude. So I love that.
Absolutely. It's an opportunity to really learn about yourself. And I think that's really the point. I mean, I think the point we're all here is to really learn and grow and change. And those are the opportunities in which that happens the fastest, the best, is, you know, the things that we learn about ourselves and what we're capable of, what we're capable of dealing with, what we're capable of overcoming, what we're capable of, you know, bouncing back from. So it's, you know, what are the upsides of those situations? Well, it teaches you to be patient. It teaches you to be resilient, and it teaches you to be kind to yourself, maybe in that case. So I think those are great opportunities.
And it's so true that our adversity is the very thing lots of times that, you know, makes us able to develop those skills of, you know, resiliency and gratitude and all the things that we've been talking about today. I remember, you know, when I first started working in alcohol and drug treatment, I started working in that field, and I would hear some people talk about, you know, that they were so grateful that they struggled with addiction, because from that came forth, you know, an entire new way of looking at life, an entire connection with God that they never thought that they would have. And I remember the first time I heard that, it kind of struck me, and you know, I just wasn't to the place yet where I could really understand it. And it's so true, though, that if we really
and now you are, Marcia, you are at the place.
That's right. Well, exactly. I mean, yeah, I should say this is a long time ago, but
you've been at that place for a long time. I know. Me too.
Right. I'm just saying. Exactly.
Yeah.
You know, none of us likes adversity when it's happening, but afterward, it's the biggest gift.
Mm-hmm. And we call that radical gratitude. Right, this idea. And what is radical gratitude?
Oh, I love
gratitude?
That. I've never heard that.
It's being grateful for things that you know, you wouldn't think you would be, right? Or maybe, you know, shouldn't be, as the case may be, and but you are. And yes, looking back and being grateful for the adversity that we've overcome is a challenge in and of itself. But what would it be like to be grateful, or at least appreciative in some way, as it's happening? And I think that's what also helps sustain us through really difficult times that are, like, you know, that or maybe more chronic, you know, like, how am I going to get through this on a day-to-day basis for a while and still find a way to be appreciative of what it's teaching me as it's happening? That's adaptive
that's
coping.
That's like PhD that's level of gratitude.
That's, that's the work. That's the goal.
That's right. That's the goal.
That's where we're trying to get to. Yep.
But it's nice. It's nice to hear it in plain language. It's nice. It's nice that, you know, we could share that is kind of the holy mecca of the gratitude, is to kind of be for the current adversity that we feel. Yeah, I love that. I love that. This has been such an enlightening conversation, and it's such an important
Absolutely.
Topic. And it's what a pleasure to be able to talk to you about it. That's been really wonderful. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you for having me on to talk, and thank you for all the work and that you're putting out into the world to help others.
Oh, thank you. I think I can speak for Erica. It's the joy and honor of our lifetime to be able to share, you know, on a big scale with listeners, and just to be able to share, you know, what kind of people you can surround yourself with to continue to learn, continue to grow, and really, you know, continue to evolve as a person. And I think that's what we're all trying to, you know, trying to do in one way or another. But anyway, where can our listeners find you? Because they're going to want to look you up and see what's going on, and how do they do the gratitude challenge? So where can they find you?
Yeah. A couple of places. I have a website, drnataliechristine.com, and I do have the gratitude challenge, the 30-day gratitude challenge on there as a guide, a downloadable book, and it's totally free. So people can go there. Yeah. I'm on Instagram, the same handle, Dr. Natalie Christine, and then I'm also on LinkedIn and Twitter. So you can find me lots of places.
That's awesome. And Erica and I always ask one question at the end of our interviews. We call it our deep dive question. So are you ready for this?
Okay, I think so.
Drum roll. Just go with your instinct. Yes, okay. Go with your gut. Yeah.
Okay.
Okay.
So Dr. Natalie, what is your superpower?
Oh, that's a really good question. The first thing that came into my mind when you asked it was listening.
Great. I love that.
Oh, I love that.
Fabulous. Then that's the one we have to go.
And not many people can
say. Yeah, no, we haven't heard that. Yeah.
No, for sure.
It is. There's a power in that for sure.
Thank you again for being on and sharing with us. And that brings us to the end of our show on Rewiring Your Life. Marcia Stone and
Erica Spiegelman, thank you for joining us, everybody.
Yes. Take good care until next week and be well.